Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Text Number 35. Bhagavad Darshana. Bhagavat Darshanahlad Bhashpaparya Kulekshanaha Pulaka Chitanga Pulaka Chitanga Utkantyat Svakyane Nasakanripa Bhagavat Darshanahlad Bhashpaparya Kulekshanaha Pulaka Chitanga Pulaka Chitanga Utkantyat Svakyane Nashakanripa The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Darshana, because of seeing, Ahlada, due to the joy, Bhashpa, with tears, Pariyakula, overflowing, Ikshanaha, whose eyes, Pulaka, with eruptions, Ajita, marked, Angaha, whose limbs, Odkantyat, from eagerness, Svaakyane, to announce himself, Na Ashakat, he was not able, Nripa, O King. The joy of seeing the Supreme Lord flooded Akrura's eyes with tears and decorated his limbs with eruptions of ecstasy. He felt such eagerness that he could not speak to present himself, O King. Bhagavam stam abhi pretya ratangan ratangan gita panina parirebhe pyu pakrisya prita pranata vatsalaha. Recognizing Akrura, Lord Krishna drew him close with his hand, which bears the sign of the chariot wheel, and then embraced him. Krishna felt pleased, for he is always benignly disposed toward his surrendered devotees. Purport. According to the Acharyas, by extending his hand marked with the chariot wheel or chakra, Lord Krishna indicated his ability to kill Kamsa. Sankashanas chapranatam. Upaguya Mahamanaha Grihitva Panina Pani Anayat Sanujo Griham Prishtvatasvagatam Tasmai. Niveja Chavarasanam Prakshalya Vidivat Pado Madhu Parkarhanam Aharat. Nivejagam Chatitaye Samvaya Shramtamadritaha Anambahu Gunam Medyam Swadhayo Paharad Vibhu. The Almighty Lord Balaram presented Akrura with the gift of a cow, massaged his feet to relieve him of fatigue, and then with great respect and faith fed him suitably prepared food of various fine tastes. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Akrura went to Krishna's and Balaram's house on the 12th lunar day on which one should not break a fast at night. However, Akrura dispensed with this formality because he was eager to receive food in the Lord's house. Tasmai bhukta vate pritya rama paramadharma vit Mukavasayar Gandamalyai Parampitim Vyadhat Punaha. When Akura had eaten to his satisfaction, Lord Balaram, the supreme knower of religious duties, offered him aromatic herbs for sweetening his mouth, along with fragrances and flower garlands. Thus Akura once again enjoyed the highest pleasure.
Papracha sakritam nandaha katam stanir anugrahe kamse jivatidasarha shona pala ivavayaha.
Nanda Maharaj asked Akura, "O descendant of Dasara, how are all of you maintaining yourselves while that merciless Kamsa remains alive? You are just like sheep under the care of a butcher."
Yovadhit svasvasustokan krosantya asutrip halaha kim nu svittat prajanam vaha kushalam vim vishamahe.
That cruel, self-serving Kamsa murdered the infants of his own sister in her presence, even as she cried in anguish. So why should we even ask about the well-being of you, his subjects?
Itam sunvitaya vacha nandena su subhajitaha akrura pariprishtena jahavadva parishramam.
Honoured by Nanda Maharaj with these true and pleasing words of inquiry, Akura forgot the fatigue of his journey. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 38th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Akura's Arrival in Vrindavan. Om Agyanatimirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Dena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukkam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam.
Initially here we're seeing Akura overwhelmed with ecstasy, with great love and affection for Krishna and Balaram. He's seeing them in the milking shed. I think it mentions here somewhere. Akura then saw Krishna and Balaram in the village of Braja going to milk the cows. And they were very beautiful, very attractive. So Akura, his ecstasy, ahlad means ecstasy. Or here, due to the joy, ahlad. Prahlad means one who is very ecstatic. With Prahlad Maharaj is always ecstatic, prahlad. Very ecstatic. Here, he's ahlad. Darshana ahlad. He's so happy to have the darshan of Bhagavan. Bhagavat darshana ahlad. And so what happens? Bashpa pariyakulekshanaha. Tears start to flow from his eyes. Pulaka achitanga. His limbs, his body has goosebumps. He's got goosebumps. He's so excited. His hairs are standing on end, and his skin is erupting, bumping up. I don't know if you've ever noticed when you sneeze. I've been sneezing a bit the last few days with a hay fever. If you sneeze, I don't know if you've noticed that your hair stand on end. Have you noticed it? Watch the hairs on your on your wrist,
forearm.
Sneeze and your hairs will go up, and then they'll go down. Maybe I'm. Anyway, that's my experience. I don't know about your experience. So you know, Akura's physically affected by the sight. His love for Krishna and Balaram is so powerful that it's physically affecting him. That's a very deep degree of affection, love and affection. His hairs are standing on end, his skin is erupting, and tears are coming to his eyes. And why is that? Because utkantyat, utkantyat, from eagerness, utkanta. It's one of the symptoms, as I was mentioning the other day. Utkanta is one of the symptoms that is seen in a devotee within whom the seed of prema has been sown. Actually, the seed of bhakti is actually within everybody, as it's explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's within everybody. What's that verse? Nitya Siddha, the eternal perfection. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. Sadhya Kabu Noi. It's within everybody. Nitya Siddha, the eternal perfection of Krishna Prem. We all have it. Interestingly enough. Shravanadi. However, it has to be awakened. This is the problem. We're all asleep. Or in a state of slumber. Otherwise, these are the natural symptoms of a devotee who's showing love or has the seed of love within his heart. Shravanadi sutta chitte karaye udoy. It will arise up, it will come up naturally if one engages in the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. So in one sense, we don't, as Prabhupada says, it's not a Krishna consciousness is not an imposition. The chanting of Hare Krishna is not an imposition, it is a natural thing. And our love, our natural love for Krishna will arise automatically, udoy, by following the process of devotional service. We don't have to force it. In fact, there's a good chance if you try and force it, then you'll get the opposite result. Get the opposite result. So here, utkanta is one of the symptoms. Enthusiasm. So enthusiastic, so eager to see Krishna and Balaram that his ecstasy overpowers his ability to speak. So he, practically speaking, he's stunned. Nasakan. He's not able to present himself. He's not actually able to say anything. You see that in the character of, you see that in Lord Chaitanya's pastime sometimes. When he's stunned with ecstasy, then all he can say is he's not actually able to say Jagannath. He's just sort of spluttering out something. I think also this is something that happened to Dhruva Maharaj also. He became so overwhelmed by his vision of Lord Vishnu that he couldn't speak either. And it wasn't until the Lord touched him with his conch shell that he was able to regain his composure and offer his prayers. So it's interesting to note here that Akura's is demonstrating this ecstasy, ecstatic symptoms. Not that one has to display ecstatic symptoms, mind you, to be advanced. Otherwise, you know, there are so, you know, Prabhupada was asked, what do we do with these people that come to the temple and they roll around on the floor and they cry tears and exhibit these symptoms of ecstasy? And on one occasion, Prabhupada says, you could kick him in the head. If he doesn't notice, then he's in ecstasy. So, you know, it can be imitated. It can be imitated. But some of the other qualities of a devotee we should cultivate, actually. Our devotional service should be, you know, not wanting to waste time, always being engaged in service, being detached from things, material, forgiving of others. Chanti means tolerant. Chanting Hare Krishna enthusiastically, constantly even. Some of these qualifications, actually. We can work on those qualifications rather than, you know, worrying too much about horripilations, hairs standing on end, crying and faltering in the voice and so forth. Because we see people imitate these sort of things just to make a show, to trick others. But that's not really what we're looking for. It's not what Krishna's looking for. That can be, these kind of symptoms can be cheaply imitated. But what can't be cheaply imitated is, you know, the deep affection, attraction, dedication to serving. And that needs to be awakened by the Shravanadi Sudhachite, the consciousness, the pure consciousness at the moment has become covered over. Prabhupada gives the example of how a person's consciousness is like rainwater that drops out of the cloud. Very pure, very clear, very sweet. You know, if you drink pure rainwater, it is so satisfying, it is so sweet. I mentioned this before, but my grandmother had a... It's interesting, in Victoria they're now talking about putting in rainwater tanks. It's a bit late because there's no rain, but anyway. everybody's very conscious about saving water and so consequently, you know, rainwater tanks are now in vogue. I remember the first thing that we would always do when we went to my grandma's house was go straight to the jug. She would always have a jug in the laundry at the back of the house. In those days, my grandmother didn't have a washing machine. She used to wash all of her hands by clothes. She had a wringer. The first thing we do is get a glass and go and have a drink of grandma's rainwater because it was super sweet. Very tasty. So the pure nature of the spirit soul is sweet and tasty, actually, and attractive. But at the moment, it's covered over by the contamination of material existence. When the water falls out of the sky, it's clear and pure. But when it hits the dirt, it loses its original purity. So we've lost our original purity, much to our distress and consternation and discouragement, if you like. But still, the water is still there within the mud, within the dirt. It's still there. And it can be extracted. You can actually get water out of the mud by the right process. So for us, Shuddha Jitta is purification of consciousness is achieved. How? By following the process of devotional service. Shravanadi Shuddha Jitta. We're disturbed by lust. We're disturbed by an uncontrolled mind. But it is possible to curb the lust. It is possible to control the mind. Krishna teaches us these very simple things in the Bhagavad Gita. We curb the lust and we control the mind by regulation. That's why Krishna recommends be regulated. We purify the mind by, Prabhupada says in the sixth, it was one of the questions in the Bhakti Shastri test. What does Prabhupada recommend is the cure for controlling the mind? And Prabhupada says the medicine is to chant Hare Krishna and to hear the topics of Krishna consciousness. Hear Krishna Katha, that's our medicine. And a diet is to take prasadam. No? Simple cure. So that's Shravanadi. Hearing about Krishna. Very powerful. And it has to be done regularly, constantly. Constantly means regularly, basically. Nitya Bhagavata Sevaya. Regularly hearing about Krishna cures the mad mind of its confusion and its contamination. And of course, taking prasadam also purifies, right? Jagya Sistasana Santo Mutchante Savakil Bishai. We, by taking foodstuffs which has been offered as part of Jagya Shishta means the remnants of Jagya or sacrifice, that's prasadam, then that removes sin. Believe it or not, taking prasadam is very, very powerful. This is why Lord Chaitanya recommends the devotees not to eat grains cooked by non-devotees. And why is that? Because Lord Chaitanya says it'll make your mind wicked. If we eat grains that have been cooked by non-devotees, then they contaminate it. It's not offered or offerable. Right? So we have to be careful. Don't eat grains. Don't eat anything, I would suggest. But, you know, sometimes to be practical, if we're on Sankirtan or whatever, we're travelling, we may have to be practical. But on the whole, generally speaking, I know it's habit in, I know some of my friends buy bread from Woolworths or Coles. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend it. And Lord Chaitanya certainly doesn't recommend such things because, you know, biscuits and things like that. They actually can contaminate our consciousness, cloud our Krishna consciousness, basically. Krishna consciousness is already there, but it gets covered over. And how does it manifest? It manifests in the form of material aspirations and inclinations coming back again. Things that we would ordinarily ignore, but then become something, oh, what about this, what about that? So the pure spirit soul needs to be revived, gone to sleep, asleep at the wheel. Right? Well, they say, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home. The symptoms of purity that manifest, especially in a character like Akura, we don't see them because it's covered over by this ignorance. But it can be uncovered, and especially hearing and discussing these topics of such very exalted devotees as Akura. Bhagavat Darshana Halad. He becomes ecstatic, overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms of love for Krishna and Balaram. So much so that he's not able to speak. But then Krishna, seeing Akura, drew him close, just as he was predicting. When I see Krishna, then he'll welcome me. And it's interesting in this next verse, Rata Anganukita Panina. Pani is the hands. His hands. So on his hand he has the whirl of the chakra. The circle of the chakra on his hand. And so when he sees Akura and he recognizes him, then he offers his hand to him. Just like there's a description in the third canon of the Bhagavatam, when Lord Brahma sees Lord Vishnu, then Lord Vishnu says welcome and embraces him and, you know, shakes hands. This is, you know, we wonder why people shake hands when they meet each other. It's coming from Krishna. And actually, it's interesting because in this section here, we learn how to greet a guest. We learn how to properly greet somebody, especially if they've come from a distance. And how we welcome. So, Krishna's put out his hand, and the acharyas say that by showing the chakra on his hand, Krishna's indicating to Akura, don't worry, I can kill Kamsa. Right? The chakra represents the wheel of time, in one sense. The wheel of time. And Krishna says, time I am the destroyer of all men. So, you know, Akura's consternation was that Krishna would perhaps see him as Kamsa's representative and then misunderstand that actually he's his devotee. But in order to pacify and calm Akura, Krishna recognizes him and then shakes his hand, takes him by the hand and leads him from his chariot, reveals the chakra to indicate to him, don't worry, don't be concerned, I can fix up Kamsa. I can kill. So as mentioned here, according to the acharyas, by extending his hand, marked with a chariot wheel or chakra, Lord Krishna indicated his ability to kill Kamsa. So, Akura standing with his head bowed, with his palms folded as after he's paid his obeisances. Then, what did Krishna and Balaram do? They make him feel comfortable, they sit him down, and then they inquire from him. How was your journey? Would you like... Actually, it's interesting. It says here. Krishna took him to his residence. Actually, no. It's Lord Balaram. Balaram took him to his residence. Then they gave him a seat. That says here. Balaram offered him a first class seat. Here it's Vara Ashanam. So they inquired how he was, then they made him feel comfortable. Then what did they do? Prakshalya Vidhivat. They washed his feet. And it says here Vidhivat, which is recommended in the Shastra. Vidhi means the Shastra. Pado, washed his feet according to the Shastra. Madhuparka aharnam aharat. He then gave him some madhuparka, which is like a drink. Milk with honey. Respectfully served him milk with honey. So it's interesting. These are offerings. When we do the wedding ceremony, actually, the first thing we do is greet the groom. And I always joke with the families because I say, you know, the purpose of this exercise is to make the groom feel very comfortable so he doesn't change his mind and decide to go home without the bride. Huh? But that's what it is, basically. You know, this is a delicate stage of affairs. You make the groom feel very comfortable and at home. He's just come to collect the bride. So you want to make him very at ease, comfortable. So therefore, the family members offer a seat, give a garland, wash the feet, give new clothes even, gifts if necessary, and then perform the puja. arti. Put on some chandan, cool him off. If it's a hot day, give him some chandan, cool his head. So that he's, you know, thinking straight. Give him a drink. In other words, you know, actually it's very interesting. The Vedic culture, the etiquette that's demonstrated here is very subtle. It's very subtle and personal, very personal. So the idea is that one looks after one's guests very carefully, make them feel at home. Then what did he do? Gave him a gift, massaged his feet, then gave him prasadam. And while they're having prasadam, they're asking, how's the family? How's this one? How's that one? That's how we make people comfortable. By actually, you know, what Prabhupada wanted in the temples, here's something interesting for everybody to meditate on. Prabhupada wanted in the temples facilities so that there was always a cook on hand who at any moment could cook up some sabji and some puris and other items of prasadam, so that if guests came, they could be fed straight away. This is the Vedic culture, you see. There was a letter, Prabhupada actually sent this letter to all of the temples, saying, you know, he wanted it so that there would be a cook in the kitchen, just waiting for guests to come. And when the guests came, not that they helped themselves, right? You know, because sometimes, you know, I know the devotees don't serve out the evening prasadam. They just sort of let the guests take it up. This is not actually what Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada wanted a much higher standard than we have at the moment. And in fact, there are temples in the world that don't have our standard. You know, you have to pay for prasadam. But that wasn't Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada's mood was, when people come, then the proper etiquette is you feed them straight away. You make them feel comfortable. There's a, because we don't have the manpower to do this, at least we should be able to do it at the scheduled times, which is certainly not impossible. But people would come, then they would be looked after, sat down. In the meantime, you know, the cook would be notified, and then he would immediately turn up the flame on the ghee, warm up the burner, and then cook some puris. Get the puris ready, and then, you know, give the guests sabji and puris. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be very happy if I came to a temple and people, you know, you just turn up and say, oh yes, come on, sit down, have darshan, have some charanamrita, please sit down and take prasadam, have some more, eat some more puris and sabji. You know, who doesn't like puri and sabji? Not many people that I know. I know when I went to Budimanta's place this year, they succeeded in getting me to eat about 10 puris. They were just laughing. Oh, go on, Eddie Ruder, it's okay. Who's counting? Keep eating. But then after I ate it, I crashed out. I had to lie down. What's happened? I looked up and I could see the fan spinning, but it wasn't even on. I'd eaten so much. But you know, that's the idea. You make your guests feel completely at home. So much so that you've stuffed him full of prasadam, and then what does he want to do? He wants to go to sleep. So yes, come and take rest. And you see that, even you see that in the culture in India today. You know, I've been to my friend's house, so what do? Come and sleep on, you know, they will give you their bed, and then they'll go and sleep on the floor. In the lounge or wherever. Quite an interesting way of showing affection. See, when people show you that kind of affection, then you know that they, you know, then you can't help but want to be affectionate towards them also. Huh? Looking after people is it's part of our culture. We have to learn that culture sometimes, because, you know, very often we think, oh, look at all these people coming to the temple, what a botheration, just creating all this work for us. Which is true. They do create a lot of work for us. But the interesting thing is, if we show our affection, then they'll also show their affection back. And, you know, one of the reasons why, I think we could safely say, one of the reasons why we have a lot of support from a lot of people is because we go out of our way to make sure that if they come to the temple, they can fit. Right? That they're always nicely looked after, that the temple is clean. And, you know, and when you think about it, we have a reasonable standard of prasadam distribution. It could certainly be better, but look at what Prabhupada really wanted. He wanted that we should be able to immediately cook for 10 or 12 people as they turn up. That was what he really wanted. And you can see it here. When Akura comes and Krishna and Balaram go out of their way to make him feel comfortable and at home. And we're Krishna and Balaram's representatives, so we should be doing the same thing, shouldn't we? We want them to feel sheltered by Krishna and Balaram. We want them to feel the shelter, just like Akura. When he's looked after by Krishna Balaram in this way, then all of his anxiety and fatigue is gone. Even though at the end, it's interesting, Nanda Maharaj says, need we ask about how you're going, how everything's going in Mathura, under the protection of that King Kamsa? Need we ask, how's it going in Mathura? How are you feeling in the kingdom of Kamsa? And he says, you must be feeling about as secure as a lamb in a butcher's shop. That's what he says. You must be feeling about as secure as a lamb in a butcher's shop. In other words, not very secure at all. That was a joke. You can imagine. He's having a bit of a joke. You must be feeling about as secure as a lamb in a butcher's shop. That's what it says. Shona pala iva vayaha. Shona means a butcher, slaughterer. Pala means protector, right? Krishna is called Gopala, which means he's the protector of the cows. And Nanda Maharaj is saying to Akura, but your protector is a butcher. And how does he know he's a butcher? He's prepared to kill the children of his sister. Could you imagine that? What kind of a person is it that kills the children of his sister? That cruel, self-serving Kamsa murdered the infants of his own sister in her presence, even as she cried in anguish. So why should we even ask about the well-being of you, his subjects? Must be having a joke with him. Or, yes, because, you know, you have to joke about such things, otherwise it's just too serious. Right? And something's really serious. One way of getting the message across is to crack a joke. But, I mean, it doesn't say whether he's cracking a joke here or not, but it does say, honoured by Nanda Maharaj with these true and pleasing living ways, Akura forgot the fatigue of. He's feeling now safe and secure. He's left Mathura and, you know, the false shelter of Kamsa, and he's taken the real shelter of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. It's a very attractive, pleasant picture painted here in the Bhagavatam of Akura arriving in Vrindavan and being welcomed by Balaram. As I mentioned also, but he
in text 23, describes Balaram will greet him also, and how Krishna will greet him. So all of these things actually by Guru. Here's another thing. When he finished his prasadam, then they gave him, you know, like when you finish prasadam, then in many Indian families' houses, the guests are offered the what do they call it? Cardamom, cumin seeds, anise seeds, fennel, some sweet sometimes, there's a bit of sugar candy in there. Bida. Depends on where you go, what it's called. But sometimes I'll give you a betel nut also. Silver coated. Right? Silver coated. It's fresh in the mouth. Just it's fresh in the mouth. Doesn't say that they got him to take rest. Okay. Does anybody have any comments or questions? That's the end of that chapter. We're now going to move on to Akrura's vision, where Akrura went to take bath, wasn't it? Yeah. Went to take bath. There's Akrura Ghat, where he took bath, and then he had the vision of Mahavishnu and Krishna. So does anybody, any comments or questions? Yes, Dad.
This thing about people just saying the eat at the temple.
Yes.
Should we get disturbed by that, or should we welcome
them? Disturbed by people coming to the temple?
Well, sometimes we hear the comment, they're just coming here to eat.
That's good. We're opening our doors for people to just come and eat. Why?
Well, what happens when a devotee, like that, sometimes actually says to someone, you're only coming here to eat?
Well, maybe they want them to increase their devotional service. So that's a desire for them to further relish more of the ecstasies of devotional service. You know, we have Korma would crack the joke, and he's a canister adhikari. He likes to fill up his Tupperware container and take it home. A canister adhikari.
Sometimes we get bothered by, like, oh, we don't want to feed these people and that, but should we be more happy that they're actually just coming to eat?
Well, we should, you know, a devotee. I was listening this morning, Prabhupada says, we are Shastra Chakshush. Prabhupada is explaining in this class how there are so many 100,000 species of fish and so many 100,000 species of this. And he said, I haven't been able to count them. We have to count them because we've got the Vedic evidence. That's our authority. So we don't have to go and look for ourselves, Prabhupada's making a point. We don't have to look for ourselves. Oh, careful. We don't have to look for ourselves. We simply have to take it on the authority of the Vedas. So he says, our vision is through the Shastra. Shastra Chakshus. So we should see, here's a servant of Krishna coming to render some service by taking prasadam. And it's my good fortune to be able to give them that opportunity, because that person taking prasadam is very pleasing to Krishna, because it re-establishes their relationship with Krishna. This is, you know, we're the Krishna consciousness movement. We talk about preaching, we give people an opportunity to come and become Krishna conscious, but then when they come we say, what are you doing here? You've just come to take prasadam. Now, you know, some people aren't as elevated as us. Perhaps. They're on a lower level. You know, there was a point in time where you and I were probably at that level. I know I was.
I used to think, boy, I wasn't going to go to the temple by myself. No, it's okay, just you lock yourself in now. No. Yes, good. At my friend's place, he took me to the temple. Then I used to think, well, how can I get to go to the temple again? I have to go around to my friend's place. Because I had the prasadam, and I thought, wow, that was the best meal I've ever eaten. I can still remember what it was. I remember the day even. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance in June 1978. And then I used to think, I'll go around to Kevin's place and see if he'll suggest that we go to the temple again so we can have some more of that food. So, you know, it wasn't so long ago that certainly I was in that same mode of thinking. You know, for some people it takes longer. For some people it is very quick. But still, by, you know, taking prasadam, that's we're introducing them to Krishna consciousness, and we're helping them make advancement. Regardless of what their external condition is, they may be dreadlocked, you know, crazy or whatever. Prabhupada said, you know, who is crazy? Practically everybody is crazy. In reality, everybody is crazy. Of course, some people can be a disturbance. We have to be careful about, you know, we need to protect the sanctity of the temple and so away at a disturbance. But on the whole, we encourage, you know, and you know, Prabhupada said, let every hungry man of Melbourne, you know, you cannot defeat this statement of Prabhupada. Here's the problem. The problem is, we've got to follow our guru. This is the problem. And the guru said, let every hungry man of Melbourne come and eat. He said it sitting up in that seat up there. And the man who he was talking to protested, what about if he's an alcoholic and he comes to steal? That's what Prabhupada said. And this man said, and Prabhupada said, no, let him come. Make him feel comfortable. Because, you know, Vedic culture is you feed him, he's not going to steal from you. If he does steal from him, then he really is a crazy man. As I mentioned before, you know what I've noticed, what I've heard, I haven't actually experienced it myself, if somebody misbehaves, then the other people who come tell them, listen, you know, behave yourself. They self-manage. Of course, but we should try to follow this etiquette, the proper etiquette of looking after the guests, not, you know, okay, yeah, it is self-serve. This is a kitchen challenge for the kitchen department. And, you know, the way our kitchen is set up, it just, you know, buckets of prasadam just pour out of it. There's one time when the offering. I think missed on the offering. Korma said, anything that comes out of this tartam. Right? Because what are the devotees doing? The devotees are cooking it with the mood of offering. You know, there's nobody in there cooking, you know, for themselves. Or if they are, they should be kicked out. But basically, we're cooking for Krishna. So anything that comes out of the kitchen is prasadam and will benefit people. That's our preaching in Victoria especially is, you know, the goodwill that we have from so many people is based on a heck of a lot on our prasadam distribution. Is that all right, Dave?